And welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Time for How Say You. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Hello.
Well, let's see. I did Kimmel's show last night. Did a couple segments. Went very well. Got a nice plug-in for my movie. And got to talk to Sheryl Crow for a while, who I hadn't spoken to for some time.
How's she doing?
The trifecta.
She's doing well. She's has herself a new kid. He's a little run around the dressing room, little 10-month-old. Sounded good. Had spent some time with her a few years ago. She's a kind of an architecture fan, and she owns a property with multiple houses on it. They're old craftsman style houses.
Cool. Love craftsmen.
From the teens.
Yeah.
And she took me on a nice long walking tour of her vast property some years ago. So we got caught up and decided to do a little architectural tour, but we'll see. But anyway, she sounded great on Jimmy's show, and all was good. Tired. All right. Should we hop to the phones?
Let's.
Blaine?
Yeah.
How say you?
How say you, my friend?
What's happening, my brother?
Well, Adam, first of all, I love your show. Love you, Teresa. Paul, Brian. Love you all.
Thanks, Blaine.
I have a moral dilemma, and that is, I don't know if I should continue my line of work. Sometimes it bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I'm a delivery boy.
For
the local crack dealer.
Oh, crack. Uh-huh. So you essentially deal drugs.
I just deliver them.
Right.
But it's like saying, I just hold the ball. I don't kick the ball. I'm not part of the team. I'm just a holder. I don't actually kick the field goals. You're still out on the field. You're still part of the process, even if you're not the guy who's kicking it through the goalposts, right?
Yes.
Without you, the ball would just go sailing into the air and no one would ever put it down.
I mean, people can come and get it themselves,
okay.
If they don't want a delivery. It's just like you can take out or to go, I mean.
Yeah, here's the thing about most jobs that sort of erode your civility. Things like stripper and drug dealer and drug deliverer and
Publicist.
I was going to say certain folks who are attorneys, things like that. At what price? Meter maid, the easy money, but at what price? And then after all, really, in this day and age, I don't know if it was always this way. Maybe it's more so this way. Maybe it's less so now. I don't know. I really have never really thought about this, but you are so wrapped up in your identity, your self-worth, and your self-esteem is so wrapped up in your career these days. Seems like in times past, it was good enough to be a good mother. It was good enough to be a breadwinner as a man. You brought money home. I don't care if you sold shower curtains. It didn't matter. As long as you provided a nice lifestyle for your family, and then as long as your wife provided a nice lifestyle for the children and kept the household up, then everyone did their job and everyone had pride. Seems like in this day and age, you're more wrapped up in your identities, more wrapped up in your vocation or in your actual job.
I would agree. And people say that in America in particular, we work really hard and
right. We're
really tied up. Our identity is really tied up with our career.
Right, yeah. And obviously more so for women these days than ever before. And for men, it's kind of always been that way. But when we moved from the fields into the offices, it kicked into a higher gear because there was just, you were a farmer, you were a carpenter, you worked with your hands, you tilled the soil. There was only so much one man could do in a day. I mean, it just, there was a guy who stood next to you and he was holding a hoe as well, or he was picking oranges as well, or he was doing whatever labor intensive work you guys were doing out in the field, building a canal or a dam or a railroad. Yeah, that's what you did, but most of those guys would have taken the paycheck and not showed up at work the next day in a heartbeat, right?
Right.
Now people are very wrapped up with their business. Let's put it this way. I know Kinko's is factoring into this and computers are factoring into this. How many people had business cards when you were a kid? When I was a kid, my dad didn't have a business card. Corollas weren't traditional working family, but I mean, I didn't know anybody that had a business card.
Oh, that was really fancy. Pops had one for his shop, Delta Battery, and it said, test it first.
Oh, really?
Had a motto.
Yeah, yeah. Don't throw out that battery. Don't throw out that alternator.
Yeah.
Have that baby tested before you do it. Well, I guess your dad was a small business owner.
Yeah, but I think you're right about computers. I was thinking about this. You know that show Mad Men, which takes place in the
50s? Yes.
They go home and have a gimlet. The workday's over.
Right.
Now, it seems like it's hard to stay off the grid. I notice when I go home, I check my email every 20 minutes, and then I'm emailing. So I'm never not working.
Right. Folks, no matter what business you're in, you go home, you turn your computer on, and there's a couple of emails, and there's five of them, and three of them are personal, and two of them are business.
Right.
And you're sort of back on the clock.
You got a BlackBerry, or in Blaine's case, really a CrackBerry.
Right. All right, Blaine. We say knock it off because of, it's not the part, you know, and again, my message to everyone is don't worry about the man. Even if you never get caught, let's just say you deliver crack for the rest of your life or you're fill in the blank for the rest of your life and you never get caught by the man. You know you're doing it, right?
Yeah, and Blaine could argue, well, somebody else is going to deliver the crack. Let somebody else deliver
Fine.
The crack.
Somebody else is going to murder somebody. Somebody else is going to die of AIDS. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Let it be somebody else. All right, let's see. Somebody has an interesting one here. Jason?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
What's happening, J. Joe?
Hey, I work at a really nice seafood restaurant in Hollywood, and Carrie Ann Inaba came in last night with some friends of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, I didn't bother them and stuff when they were eating, but when they finished up, when she was walking by, she thanked us all, and I told her to be gentle on you on Dancing with the Stars.
She's one of the judges, in case you don't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. She asked me how you were going to do, and I told her you had no chance at all.
That's good. Lower expectations. Yeah,
yeah,
as if we're good buddies because you have a radio.
Yeah, that's what she said, too.
I had a couple of pops with her in the airport in Chicago when we were all coming back from Oprah. It seemed like a good time, actually.
I like her. She's my favorite part of that show.
Yeah, she was fun. Just got herself a house in the valley, talked a little home improvement, had a couple of highballs. I bought her a drink, you know, just greasing the skids
you
a little.
You got to, yeah. Got
to grease those skids.
She was one of Madonna's dancers.
Oh, she was?
On the Girly Show tour. She had a shaved head.
Really?
She was a kick-ass dancer.
Shaved head.
Yeah, she was edgy.
Yeah, you know, I don't dig edgy. Edgy's for other chicks. It's not for dudes. Sexually, like, I don't feel like I'm going to get my penis injured. I just want to get
right.
laid, you know?
Yeah, soft and pretty.
I don't like that. Oh, she may bite you. God, I don't like that. I feel like I get that with possums and things, you know?
Right.
They have rodentia for that. I want you to lay still, look hot, and let me hump you. I don't want that, like, ooh, you're in for a fight. No, I don't want a battle. I want to get laid. I've had enough of that.
Listen, this is my relationship book, Smell Nice, Look Pretty.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Let's talk to John. John?
Hey, how say you, Adam? Yay or nay?
I say yay.
Well, hopefully you don't say gay to this because I got to ask you a really serious question.
Please.
I'm in the market for another car, mm-hmm. and I'm hardcore considering a Mini Cooper. And I'm
G-A-Y.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. No, listen, I had a Cooper. I mean, here's...
This is an important question because I've wondered this too.
Okay, let me.
You exude relaxed masculinity, as a Hollywood reporter.
Let me be crystal clear on this and tell everyone who's thinking about buying a Mini Cooper everything they need to know in the next 30 seconds. They have a peach-colored, convertible, non-supercharged version of the Mini Cooper. That is gay.
Of course.
It's like two twins. One of them's a captain of the football team. The other opened a cabaret, you know? They came from the same place. They may even look the same. They just went different directions. If you get the convertible, peach-colored one that is naturally aspirated, as we say in the car world, then that is a gay mobile.
Right.
I got mine in a sort of silver gray with a supercharger on it, threw some Brembo brakes on there and some wheels, and that thing kicked ass.
That's exactly the kind I'm looking at.
I must tell you, I am not a fan of front-wheel drive automobiles, although I make an exception for the Mini. It works well on that car. It's a German-made car.
Yeah.
You shut the door on that car. You know when you buy a quality car and you just shut the door and you feel that boom? You know when it's once in a while you're getting that expensive Mercedes and the door just feels heavy and solid and substantial? That's what the Mini feels like for $23,000, and it's a lightweight car and has more headroom inside of it than many large luxury sedans. Best of all worlds, fun to drive, easy to park. You don't realize how much a slightly smaller car helps you in getting into those parking spaces and getting around those corners, you know, without doing the three-point turn. I highly recommend it. It's fast. It's a hoot to drive, and I'm a big Mini fan, and I think BMW makes Mini now, so there's a lot of quality there, and evidently a safe car as well, especially for a small car. So you'll get no argument from me. It's the color, and you must get the S edition.
Okay. Those are the two criteria. So given the premise that it's a masculine color, an S, and a six-speed, then I'm in the clear.
You're in the clear. There. If you really want to go nuts, they have a like John Cooper Works edition, which is a special limited edition, which has like 200 horsepower, which is the next step up, which is a really bitchin' little fun car, but that's probably going to run you another $8,000-$10,000.
Awesome. Adam, you're the king.
Thank you, John.
Okay, bye.
All right, good times.
Thanks.
Yeah. I told everybody, I said this at the very end of the show, so I may as well say it at the very beginning of the show. And we never really did get to the bottom of this, but I'm putting it out to anybody who might know out there. I was behind a Mini Cooper, and it had a vanity plate, and it said Gay Mini on it. G-A-Y. That's right. Gay Mini. I saw this a couple days ago, and I believe there were two fellers in the car. Now, here is a question. A, would you be able to get a license plate from the DMV of California that said gay anything on it if in your last name wasn't gay? I do think when you apply for these things, you could do nonsense. Like you could do your kid's birth date. Fine, there's your kid's birth date. They're not going to argue with you. But if you pick yourself, like if your last name, trying to think of something that's not too brutal. Let's see. Try to think of a
similar to the movie Meet the Fockers, where they actually had to prove there were people named Fokker in order to actually get the movie in theaters.
So you had
to provide people.
Right.
Named
if
Fokker.
Your name was Fokker,
then you got free tickets, I think.
And if you wrote...
Possibly.
If you wrote... If you said to the DMV, hey, I would love myself a vanity plate that said Mr. Fokker or M. Fokker.
Or the mom. Mother Fokker.
Right. If I said that, then they would probably... They would probably say no.
Yeah.
Nice one, T. Yes, they'd probably say no. Now, here's how it works. You know, if you're a Bond villain and your last name is Pussy Galore and you go to the DMV and you show them your license, although they probably have it on file, and you say, look, my last name is Pussy Galore, they still would go, you couldn't put Pussy Galore on. There's been lawsuits.
Right.
Where people have been named like Hebman or something like that, like a name that was sort of derogatory. Just for some reason, I remember there was a Jewish name that was like, I don't know, sound like Bagelman or Heeman or Jewman or something like that. And the person argued, that is my name, but the DMV still said, can't use it. It's offensive.
There are lists. I know I've read articles. There are lists of words you cannot use and conjugations of words you cannot use. I'd be shocked if gay was on it, being that we're in California and it seems like a layup discrimination lawsuit to not be able to put gay on your license plate.
Sort of. On the other hand, those people are super picky and super weird, and it is totally random. I mean, because it's the government. Whenever you're dealing with the man, they have tons of laws that don't make sense. So, do you think this guy's last name was gay, or do you think it was okay for just... And if that's true, then how about bi, speaking of that? Mm-hmm. And then here's another thing. Don't you think you'd see more gay? I mean, we live in Los Angeles. We drive through West L.A. all the time. Those folks have a lot of, expendable income, extra income they're not spending on... kids and things like minivans and things like that. And they're flamboyant. A lot of them like to advertise. Don't you think that every fifth Miata you saw would say gay Miata or gay man or gay something?
Redundant,
redundant
though, right?
Yeah, one could argue, yes, they should probably throw it on a Silverado because it is a little redundant. Yes, but you know what I'm saying. Don't you think I would have seen another gay at this point? Did the guy need to be named gay?
Or maybe gay was only recently allowed on license plates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on the name thing. What's his face? Randall Gay, the plays for the Patriots. I'm with you. Could have brought down his ID.
Down his jersey sales.
Even better.
There are a handful of...
worst selling jersey in the NFL.
Yeah, except for Jimmy immediately bought it for Bill Simmons. Yeah.
But he's in the top jersey sellers. It's Reggie Bush and Brian Urlacher and Randall Gay.
Randall Gay. Yeah, well, as it turns out, there's probably about five gays in the NFL. Marvin Gaye had the dignity to toss an E at the end of his last name. So, what do you guys think? Guy's name's gay? Or, Teresa, if you wanted to go get a license plate that said...
The nose.
Right.
Just
no. No, if you just wanted to go get gay on your license plate.
Okay.
Could you do it? And then could you just go, I'm gay now, or proud gay? You know what I'm saying? Like, what other declarative statements could you make? I don't know.
You know what's good? Lynn and Alex are coming in later this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We can ask them.
All right.
I'd be shocked if it was not allowed.
All right. We will. I don't think shocked is the right word. I think you could be marginally surprised, but I don't know if you could be shocked.
Not cynical in the sense, though. It's like, it seems like I would almost hope, if I was a lawyer, I would hope it wouldn't be allowed, because that would be, it seems like a layup discrimination.
But they may have a just blanket policy of nothing to do with sexuality.
Right.
No, I can't say heterosexual. I couldn't say straight guy.
Right, couldn't say hetero one.
Yeah. Right, or straight guy one, because then that is offensive to the other group, as if there's something wrong with them. Hmm. That'd be interesting to look into. We're never going to do it. let's take ourselves, wait a minute.
Well, let's call the DMV and they'll pick right up.
Somebody has one of the greatest plates ever, but we need to take a break. So that'll be a little tease. Greatest license plate ever. We'll take a quick break. We'll tell you what that is next.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
We're going digital, baby. 97.1 Free to HD. It's the digital network. Pimpin'.
Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hi, I eat at your store 3-4 times a week at your place, and recently I failed a company drug test. So you guys putting something in the pasta sauce?
What do you mean something?
You know, like weed or coke or something like that.
Weed or coke in the pasta sauce? No, my friend, you're very wrong with that.
Maybe not watching the guys in the back, but as soon as I finish my spaghetti, I already want more. You know, which is weird because the food usually is horrible.
The food was horrible?
Yeah, it tasted like pot.
I don't know what you're just saying. I don't know. We never heard that.
I don't know who's doing it in the back. I'm just saying the stuff's good. I'd like to get a dish if I could come by and pick it up. I got some friends coming over.
Nobody uses drugs here.
Look, I know you got to say it over the phone, but can you just get me a plate of pasta to go, come by and pick it up?
You must have been drunk, my friend.
Just hook me up with some spaghetti with marijuana sauce.
You crazy.
I'm not crazy. The ziti's not the only thing that was baked, okay?
I am busy right now, okay?
You broke my heart, Fredo.
I'm Juliana Rancic, formerly DePandy, until I got married. And you are listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for... people on the radio with large heads, and that's why I love this place.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Man, here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
The name may be Jack, but my clients call me Kristen Peeps. Today, your chance to win $500 in Nicaraguan Name That Tune. From Monty Python, Eric Idle. The latest celebrity gossip with Lynn and Alex. Late night host Carson Daly. And Adam's old partner from Loveline, Dr. Drew. Oh, hey, I got a question for the doc. When I was at the Playboy Mansion, the jackman picked up on some dirty cooch. And I came away with syphilis, crabs, hepatitis A through C, and gonorrhea. So I guess my question is, how sweet is that? I mean, pretty awesome, right?
Hey. Thank you, Jack. Stick around to win $500 courtesy of No Country for Old Men. It's out now on DVD and Blu-ray, starring Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, and Josh Brolin. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, looking forward to being with my old partner, Dr. Drew, and then I'm going to be on his show this evening.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
I cannot wait till he's in the hizzy because I have about a million questions on celebrity rehab.
Yeah, I do too.
Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you.
I've been watching.
I hope he doesn't drop an F-bomb.
Out of that show. Oh, he'll drop an N-bomb
as
well.
Big reunion show tonight.
Yeah, big reunion, big Love Line reunion show tonight, and a daytime reunion show when Drew comes in here. No easier, better guy, no smarter guy. Nobody you'd rather sit next to on a long plane flight than Dr. Drew. All right, we're talking about vanity plates. I don't trust people that get them. That is the furthest thing away from my world, the vanity plate. The last thing I want is to advertise anything to anybody who's behind me in my car. I wouldn't even drive a convertible for that reason, and this has nothing to do with celebrity. I just don't like people looking at me, noticing me, and knowing what I'm doing when I'm doing it.
I totally agree. Having spent the bulk of my childhood on public transportation, being in my car alone feels safe and private.
I like a nice limo tint, the windows up, and no front license plate. That's the way I like to roll. And then, whenever I see that stuff on other people's cars, it always makes me angry at my own family. Although, if I see a hummingbird, I get mad at my dad. But when I see that, grandparents of Kimmy and John, you know, the people that actually, you know, the people that go ahead and make the custom license plate
right.
frame,
yeah.
where they're advertising
proud
the names, yeah, the names of their grandkids on there. And I think not if I won the Nobel Pulitzer and hoisted the Lombardi Trophy over my head in the same year, would there be a custom license plate frame that said like proud parent of. Could you imagine that?
How about the white silhouette stickers that go in the back of the minivan in descending order of
right,
of
the entire the entire family.
And the dog!
Sort of a, it's a semi-Latin thing, also maybe a white trash thing.
Not
but
semi.
I'll tell you what the pure Latin thing is, the in loving memory of. Like, yeah, that's a fitting tribute to your grandma. You got a sticker in the back of your pickup truck.
Grandma?
Born
1981 to 1989
to yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a lot of that weird crap going on the back of cars,
too.
Does this
mean if I go early, you're not going to get a tattoo of me on your arm with my dates?
I'm just saying, hey, my Latin brothers, how about you combine your two most favorite decals, the Brahma Bull and In Loving Memory Of, and then have In Loving Memory Of the Brahma Bull.
Oh, my God. Social
surely
commentary.
They've perished, some of them.
You know you've eaten at least a handful of them, right?
We got to get to the best license plate
Look,
ever.
The worst two, let me tell you this, it transcends all ethnicities because white guy has the Calvin of the Calvin and Hobbes taking a whiz on the Mopar banner or on the Chevy bow tie or whatever it is. Just in general.
Whatever your enemy truck is.
Here's, yeah.
Calvin will take
That's
them out
right.
for you.
Yeah, it's like your Ford is going to do battle with a Silverado. Listen to me, everybody. Here's the plan. Your job is to drive the best car that you can afford and do your advertising to the world by how nice your car is, not how much junk is stuck to it. All right.
The best is Calvin. By the way, there's all variations of Calvin. There's Calvin peeing on Calvin peeing. Have you seen these ones where, like, it's a bigger one and a smaller one?
No, that's like when you stand in front of a mirror and look into a mirror behind you.
And there's Calvin praying.
I like Calvin praying. Aww. I like Calvin. There's Calvin dragging a cross.
No.
Calvin has stigmata.
I'll tell you what they're going to do. One of those gay performance artists from the Bay Area to combine the Calvin peeing and the Calvin dragging the cross one to really cause an uproar.
Get an NEA grant.
I'm just saying, like, how
give me
much?
A break.
First off, half the cars on the road are, I feel like, are leased these days. How many calories do you want to burn sticking the, you know, every once in a while? And then sometimes you just get behind the car. You know, it's usually the Subaru Outback that's a little beat up, and it says like, Bush is a baby killer, or some declarative statement, like, you know, have a nice day, MF-er, or right. something.
And Kill
you think
television.
You think like, what the how? First off, no. Secondly, I'm an atheist, and I'm officially offended that I've seen the F word on your bumper sticker behind your car. You know, there'll be days that there'll be bumper stickers that have like have a nice day and F off and things like that. And like, really, what if my kid is sitting in the car with me?
Oh, sweet irony!
And if I can get a ticket for having too dark a tint on my windows or having no front license plate, don't you having the F word on your bumper, is that not good for a violation? What is your message? Like, what's going on? I've seen the Bush ones, like, you know, they started off with like, hey, don't blame me, I voted for Gore, and like, right. stuff's a little more subtle.
Yeah.
Now it's just F Bush and like baby killer and stuff like that. It's like, first off, if it was clever, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
if it was a funny, if you turned a phrase or something, if it was interesting, that's one thing. It's just, they're just like angry now.
Angry and vulgar.
What is up, everybody? And I immediately think you have no clout, no political clout, no pull, no money, no nothing. You have no juice. With each bumper sticker I see on your car, your stock goes down measurably.
Yeah. I like something that takes me a good half second to figure out, or a couple seconds, and then it's like there's a little subtlety and cleverness to it. Like, instead of the F. Bush, how about the one that like has like 1/2009 or whatever the date is going to be out of office? Because for a second,
right.
like,
oh, yeah.
what's that all about? Oh.
I don't know why. It's an old one. It goes back about 25 years, but I always enjoyed Back by Popular Demand. I don't know why. Ever since I was a kid, I just enjoyed the one that said Back by Popular Demand. Russ?
Yeah?
You have... now, this is your vanity license plate?
No, actually, it's a buddy of mine I used to know years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Actually had this plate on his car. It was 3M, had a space, and then TA3.
Right, and you have to see it, but it essentially looks like Eat Me Backwards.
So
right.
when you see it in your rearview mirror.
So when you see it in your rearview mirror, right, it'll look like Eat Me, right?
That's clever.
Exactly. He got away with it. Apparently, nobody figured it out.
Yeah, I like that. Thanks, so. Russ. And I never even thought about the rearview mirror backward part.
Like ambulance printed backwards on the ambulances.
I never even thought about that. So on the when it's written ambulance... Yeah. On an ambulance, on the front of an ambulance, yep. it'll be written backwards.
Correct. On most ambulances, just like on when you're hauling a little U-Haul trailer, it's the miles per hour on. You can see it in your side view mirror, it's printed backwards. So, you know, keep it under whatever is 55. 45.
Ah, when it's telling you to
yep.
do that. You know, speaking of backwards, though, this doesn't pertain to rear view mirrors. I've seen on airplanes, on United and some other airplanes, they'll have the American flag. Mm-hmm. up on the vertical stabilizer there, up on the rear of the thing, it's backwards. It
yeah.
seems to be going backwards. And I've always been curious why that one is going backwards. I know we're hopping around here. Let's see. Somebody's getting their first Brazilian wax today.
Oh.
Stacy, at the ripe old age of 34.
3 years after it went out of style.
Oh.
Hey, Stacy.
Good morning.
What's happening?
I'm going for my very first Brazilian wax. I want to say good morning to all of you and thank you so much. You make my day.
Thank you, Stacy, for listening.
And I can't wait to see your ring, Teresa.
Oh, thank you so much, Stacy. I love it.
Awesome. So here's the deal. I'm getting my first Brazilian wax today at 12:30 because I was told that I needed to get that thing waxed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I mean, there's no, like, it doesn't look like a tumbleweed or anything.
Who told you to do that?
Yeah.
My really pretty girlfriend. We went out one night. We came home, changed our clothes. And yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. She's
right.
Blonde, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So here's the deal. So today at this place called Wax On in downtown, I'm going to go get my thing waxed. But they gave me this full-on menu of colors, shapes.
Oh, yeah. They'll put hearts in and stuff.
What the hell? It's like a menu.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is in downtown Portland?
Yes.
Well, the important thing is that you have a crazy nationality do it that you have no cultural connections with. That's,
well, I'm full on Sicilian, so.
You are, I know, but the point is the person that's doing the waxing, if she's Sicilian as well, you're screwed. Because you're going to be talking about having relatives in Positano, and it's going to destroy everything.
God.
What you want is somebody who, usually Asian, somewhere in her 60s, and you guys don't even establish eye contact.
I don't know how she's going to get in there, because I want, like, if I'm paying all that money, I want her to get every nook and cranny.
Stacey, I got to tell you.
How do they do it?
It, if you've ever gone to a trainer and the way they stretch your leg out.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
Mm.
And you wear some either nothing or a little tiny paper thong that they can push aside. Yeah, it's
weird.
I mean, it's a catch 22 sort of thing. I mean, there's really just fashion dictates, society dictates that hair must go. On the other hand, it's not like you can detach your ass and mail it in and then a week later get it back.
Yeah, you can't send your assistant.
You're
to have
spreading your cheeks,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, you're spreading them, yeah.
And, I mean, they have to get, depending on how severe the problem is and nationality and genes and heritage and things like that, they got to get up there with the wax and they got to pretty much just put a cork in the keister and start dumping the wax, right?
It's hot wax. For one thing, yeah, they put it on a little cloth and then they rip the hair out.
This from the person that calls waterboarding torture, by the way.
Well, they could probably get some enemy combatants to start spilling.
No way.
They should do the Gitmo wax. Probably be more effective. Stacey, if I've ever said anything of value to anybody, it is this. You've got to get the laser. Just go for two or three treatments. And don't go for anything severe like the Brazilian. Just get a little tidying up. You won't ever regret it.
Uh-huh. No, but for the first one, you got to get up in there. And, I mean, it becomes a gynecological exam, yes?
I've had less invasive pap smears.
Wow. So, Stacy.
Well, okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
They're going to give me one menu, which is the regular menu, and then the other one's the working girl menu.
Right.
Okay, well, I'm obviously not a working girl in that kind of sense. Say I do get a little creative when I'm sitting there. Should I go for colors? Should I go for the full-on schnorgen?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
What's a schnorgen?
The schnorgen means just wax it all off. Make it real pretty and shiny, just like linoleum.
There's two guys in here, so you guys can weigh in, but I think guys like a little something down there.
Hold on, you're counting me as two guys?
Oh!
Well, you have a relaxed
masculinity. Yes. I don't like the schnorgen, if that's what we're calling it. And I don't trust the guy that does.
Me either. It seems pedophiliac or something.
Okay, so leave a little fuzz.
Yeah, there's certain things that are sort of tells. Like, you know, when people like certain things. Like, there might be, like, a guy who has a foot fetish. I don't trust him. I think there's something, I think it speaks of a larger issue or a bigger problem. I don't think it just exists in a vacuum. Like, I just love women's feet and I love collecting shoes and that kind of thing. Like, there's something up. It's not just that. It's not great family man, great friend, great employee, and crazy foot fetish. And the bear downstairs, well, not a deal breaker, and while not bad, and it's fine and everything, it is what women, you know, it's what my 20-month-year-old daughter, or I should say 20-month daughter, looks like. You know what I'm saying?
Look at who pointed out to Stacy. It was a girlfriend, not a guy.
Right.
Girlfriend told her to. A lot better down there when it's trimmed.
I can see that part. I'm just saying, would you trust the guy who wants to go totally bare?
No, not at all. He wants somebody who's prepubescent.
Makes
that's what that
a little
look
easier
is.
To operate down there.
If there's no hair?
Yes.
A schnubbin or whatever it's called?
A schnorkin is what it's called.
Well, there's a schnorkin. Yeah.
A little something.
Schnubbins.
Yeah.
It sounds cuter.
No, it is. I didn't even know the schnorken existed either. But yes, the point is
great cartoon from the 80s.
It makes it's one of these things where this is going to hurt your feelings, Brian. Everything would be easier if you said, look, just shave your head and shave your eyebrows and just, you know, it'd be easier. Save on shampoo and it'd save time in the morning. You wouldn't have to put any product in. Yeah, but people like the look of hair.
Oh,
sorry, Brian. And I do agree with Brian that, yes, it makes things a little bit easier down there, but there's a lot of things we go through in life that aren't exactly the easiest. We still enjoy them. All right, so we've agreed on not a full-blown Brazilian, just a cleaning up, and get a crazy nationality and do not establish eye contact. Yes?
You got it.
All right, Stacey. And most of those women are from places that were actually tossed out of the Soviet Union long before they broke up.
Right.
But that's what you want. You want
a Georgian.
Yeah, you want Georgians, you want Chechnyan, you want
Kazakhstan.
Right. You want all those things that end with Stan, and you want those basically where they film those movies, the Hostel series.
Yeah.
That's basically what you're looking for. You're looking for,
you know, someone from a soundstage in Culver City?
You're looking for countries that were asked to leave the Soviet Union before they broke up.
Yeah, before I wised up and got the laser, I used to go to a woman for about a year who was Korean, and she let me know this was great. And she also, it was very not shaming, because she told me that in Korea, a lot of hair down there is considered very sexy and attractive, and she was flummoxed.
That's why she boxes it and sends it back.
She couldn't believe American women want nothing but to take the hair off down there, whereas Korean women...
Well, it's a problem. Mm. You know, the Mexicans send the money back to Mexico, but the Koreans,
they send
pubes.
They just send the whole strip with the hair?
That's right.
If my hair can help one Korean...
T. Strass or Merkin. Stick it on, ladies.
I hope I help.
There's one wearing one as a headband right now, jogging.
A couple looking at one as a carpet sample right now.
You want to look at some swatches?
It's stain-proof.
We'll come to you. Yeah, good times. Yeah, and again, there are many jobs where you just want crazy nationalities, so you just don't have to get into it.
Yeah.
You know, I complain a lot about Los Angeles with the crazy nationalities, but it is nice. Even
house cleaner.
It just everything where everything what you don't want is a guy who comes into your house or you bring your vagina into their shop and it's like, hey, Rams fan, hey, drop your pants. Hey, how's it going? Hey, I saw
you're from the Valley.
I saw TV Water Cooler.
Yeah.
Awesome show. Uh-huh. Hey, John Fugelsang, go ahead and spread your ass cheeks, please. Fugelsang, is he a good guy? I'm gonna dump a little wax in your crack. Fugelsang, he seems cute. He seems
really
nice. Seems
good.
Like family. Hold still. I'm gonna go rip some hairs that are stuck to your ass off you. There you go. And would you like me to go ahead and fill you up from the inside out with this hot wax? Like a sand candle? Hey, Adam Carolla, how's he? Who's nicer, him or Fugelsang?
They're both really, really
good. Hold still. I got to rip some hair off your badge. Yeah, that's not what you want.
No.
You
no
want,
small talk.
No, what you want is, you sit there.
Yeah.
You sit there. Here's Vogue Teen. You look.
And then turn up the birds chirping music and let's just pretend it's not happening.
Yes. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. You read Vogue Teen. Here, Red Book. Read Red Book.
From 2004.
Look there. Not talking. Look there. Put towel overhead. That's what you want. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We got calls. Oh, man. Someone wants to give us lobsters. Damn. Whoa. I mean, we're almost out of time. TJ.
Ace man.
You want to present the cast with lobsters?
Sure.
I don't know if my dog Molly would get along with a lobster. And the next thing you know, the lobster would want to sleep on the bed with us, and the kids would start playing with the lobster. You're going to give us live? Are we supposed to eat them?
Yeah, I think we're supposed to eat them.
Oh.
Well, it's entirely up to you, but I mean, I can just bring in, you know, it's now they're not Maine lobsters. They don't have claws. They're California spiny lobsters.
Uh-huh. And
I'll go out here and get them right out of the Pacific for you.
And you bring them in live?
Sure.
And then now do we cook them here? Do we bring them home? Because I've often said about 6:45, I could go for some lobster.
Oh, it's a total morning food.
Yeah, I was why don't somebody make it in a cereal? Lobster O's?
Chex.
Lobster Chex.
Now fortified with 8 essential vitamins.
Well, I'll tell you what, TJ, we'll put you on hold, and we will gladly accept your bounty from the sea.
Thank you. That's very kind. I hope they don't cry when you boil them like in movies.
They don't. They'll make a sound.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. And when we come back, Nicaraguan name that tune. $500 is going to go to the winner. Ozzy sings Nirvana.
Little tease.
Come as you are, as you were, as you want you to be.
Here's the tricky part. I know that Nirvana song, but I feel like I wouldn't give the right title.
Yeah, I have an idea
what
it is.
There's a couple Nirvana songs where you know the song, but you're not sure the name of the title. They got a little Led Zeppelin in them. Quick break. Back with Nicaraguan Name That Tune next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2. You'll never miss the Adam Carolla Show, because that's all we've got. Face it, you love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Is this the news?
Yes.
Who's in charge of the helicopter over there?
That would be our news director.
Your news director's a prevert.
Okay. Is there anything I can help you with, sir?
That helicopter keeps flying over my house. I know they're watching me.
Who?
I know they're watching me.
Who's they?
Whoever's in that helicopter.
We've got much better things to do than that.
And then why don't you people quit flying over my house and looking in my windows?
You're crazy.
What are you talking about? I'm crazy. I'm 85 years old. I know a helicopter when I see one.
Our helicopters, we're not looking in your window, sir.
My brother Charlie invented the helicopter.
Your brother Charlie invented the helicopter.
My brother Charlie was on the original team that invented what they called in those days the Whirly Bird. That's what they called the helicopter when he invented
it. That's great.
And never in his life could he ever imagine that invention would be used to spy on his own brother's genitals.
That's great. I'm glad you think you know what you're talking about.
Who is it? What's your name?
My name?
How'd you like it if I came by your house and started looking in your windows?
You do that and I'll call the police.
That's what I'm talking to you people about.
Stop screaming. You're going to have a heart attack or something.
I'm going to have a heart attack. Luckily, the news will be right on the scene if I do.
Great.
I'm going to get up on my roof. I'm going to throw rocks at your helicopter the next time it comes down here.
Good luck with that.
I teach this guy a lesson. My brother Charlie didn't invent the helicopter so you could look in on my ding-dong. You know what I'm saying?
That's great.
He invented it for transportation. So that people could go from one place to another. And then from another place to another. Not so they can look into my privates.
Is there anything else you got going on today, sir? Because I'm about 30 seconds away from hanging up.
Who is this?
My name's...
I want to make a complaint about your helicopter.
Well, call during the week.
Who do I call?
You call the front desk and tell them what you're looking for, and they'll help you out.
What programs you people got on tonight?
I don't know what's on tonight. You'll just have to tune in and see. And I got other things I need to do, so you have a good day.
I want you to tell that prevert in the helicopter. I see what he's doing, rubbing himself.
Hey, I'm Tom Arnold, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for F*** me, it's early.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune. Oswaldo sings Nirvana. And if you can figure out what the hell he's singing, you're going to take home Nirvana Unplugged in New York on DVD. Thanks to Universal Music. Call 866-901-ADAM to play. Nicaraguan Name That Tune on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, maybe it's just me, but to me, this is the first and the best of the Unplugged series, Nirvana. I don't even know if it's the first, but certainly the one that sticks in my mind
holds
is the first. Yeah, and Dave Grohl, talk about a rocker, because he's behind the drum kit in this, and now he's one of the best front men around. All right, shall we play an intro, Bald Brian?
We shall.
Is
Luis Osvaldo, Nicaragua, Ninaitun.
Yeah.
You can win Nirvana on plug in New York.
What a shocker that he called him Nirvana. Hey, let's start with Ricky. Ricky.
Hello, Adam.
Are you ready to play, sweetie Petey?
I'm ready to play.
Well, here we go.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be.
That's come as you are.
Yes.
Sí, es bueno.
Indeed, indeed. Rick, you've won yourself the DVD, which is pretty cool. First time ever. On video.
Right on.
Or I should say DVD. Sorry, I'm moving along here, but I got $500 to give away as well. Let's go to Matt next. Matt?
Yes.
You ready to go here, brother?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
All in all, we shall are. All in all, is a we are. All in all, we all.
Yeah,
all in all,
I don't even know what Kurt Cobain's saying.
I don't know what he was saying in this one either, but I really don't know what Ozzy's saying.
Oh, my God. Can I hear it one more time?
Yes.
All in all, we all. All in all, is a we all. All in all, we all.
Literally, I said one word. One word I know about what
that Nirvana's all in all is all we are. All apologies.
Oh, wow. Geez.
It's bueno.
Very good. Ozzy did kind of have the melody.
Wow. Hey, Matt?
Yes.
I want you to hang on because
That was tough.
I'm going to say I have to give away it is my privilege to give away $500 as well as a Nirvana DVD. But hang on because I might just give him the 500. That was a 9.5.
Is Cobain saying all we are is all we know?
It's all alone is all we are, I think.
There you go.
Mm. All right, let's go to our next caller and speak to Mark. Mark? Or did I hop to Ron?
Yeah, Ron.
I'm Ron.
Well, Ron, let's talk to you. What do you got?
Well, buddy, you give me that $500, it'll pay my rent this month.
Mm-mm. I do love a sympathy story.
Well,
let's listen to the next song and see if we can get that first.
All right.
I'm just dropped. And to see my condition was in.
Man.
You gotta listen to the show to get this one.
Telling ya.
All right. Play him one. I'll play him a real one.
All right,
that was a joke. It's Kenny Rogers.
To see what condition my condition was in.
That would have been nice.
All right, play him one. Play him a Nervoso one.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, 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 hello.
Nice. I'm going to say smells like Teen Spirit.
Sí, es bueno.
Nice job there, Ronnie. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to 4, Bald Brian. If you have that one queued up, and let's speak to Valerie from San Francisco. Valerie?
Yeah.
You ready to go, sister?
I hope so.
Let's do it.
Hit me, doy and doy again. Where's me, Ray me, my friend.
Oh, my God, I know this song.
Mm-hmm.
Rape me.
Yes. Yeah.
Sí.
Done and done.
Es bueno.
You know, my favorite Nirvana song, Lithium, was not represented in this group, sadly. Hey, Valerie, what do you do for a living?
I'm a cab driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss you so much in the morning. There's nothing decent to listen to on the radio here.
Yeah, I don't know why we're not in the Bay Area. We should be. Well, how do you listen to us?
Well, actually, I was calling the number to find out where the heck you guys are, and just so happens that I heard the contest, and I said I want to be part of the contest.
Ah.
Oh, thanks,
that's man. Called serendipity, and for that, you get
$500. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to start having even more dreams about you, Adam.
Please. And, you know, with apologies to Matt, who got a very tough question,
yeah.
This rape me was no layup either, Matt. And I also should say that Valerie just called up to find out how she could hear this radio show. And I like that. That is the person that is not signing up for the sweepstakes, but innocently wandering into the store to tell someone they left their headlights on in the parking lot when they win the sweepstakes. I like that person better.
Me too. Aww. You just won $500 courtesy of No Country for Old Men out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Or you're an incredible BS artist.
Movie.
Yes, great movie. $500. You can buy 20 of them. All right, Valerie, hang on. We'll take a break. T?
Yep.
Little outro for Nicaraguan Name That Tune, by the way, Bald Brian, or?
Oh, it's my move.
T, what do we got?
Well, a lot of people are crying over the Elliot Spitzer case,
mm-hmm.
including...
Oh, yeah, here we go.
This guy.
It happened. He's a great guy. I love him.
Wow.
Recognize the voice?
No.
It's a guy you know, and also the very, very sordid story of a woman who sat on the toilet for 2 straight years.
Really?
Sat on the toilet.
Wow, that was a hell of a breakfast burrito. We'll take ourselves a break. Back with the news and more potty jokes next.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Brian Posehn.
Seriously, I do love New York. I love all the crazy street people you can see here. The free entertainment. I like any big city. I like any place where you can see a guy with a pants full of poo fighting a ghost. Right outside your hotel room. Come on, Mr. Lincoln. Come on. You're my favorite president. Come on. You know, whenever you see crazy people talking to themselves on the street, a lot of times they wouldn't look quite so nuts if they had somebody else with them. You know what I mean? See the guy walking down the street going, the chicken doesn't go woof. The chicken goes bok bok. The dog goes woof. Look completely in control if he had a kid right there.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm Bruce McCullough, Kids in the Hall, and you're listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station, where FM stands for Anything Could Happen.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Coming up this morning, Adam's life partner, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Interesting, but this will never happen. There's just too many sort of barriers, too many licensing issues, professional issues.
Gay celebrity gossip with Lynn and Alex.
Oh, wow, that's very artsy.
Monty Python's Eric Idle.
Sorry, I couldn't hear. The radio is too loud.
Carson Daly.
Your significant other came to me and said, hey, Carlos, would you mind? And I said, first of all, my name's Carson, but yes, I'll do it.
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
Get on with it.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Some would call me just a queen.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Good times. T-Bone.
Yeah.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This story from our content partners at MSN.com. The 22-year-old call girl, Elliot Spitzer, was dropping thousands of dollars on. It's pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's some disagreement amongst the ranks here. As an escort for the Emperor's Club, she went by the name of Kristen, but her real name is Ashley Alexandra Dupree. Actually, her birth name is Ashley Umans, but she changed it.
She's an attractive girl. Here's what the problem is. It's like a $80 hamburger. Everyone who bites into it goes, yeah, this is a good burger, but $80? $80? I don't think it's an $80 burger. It's a good burger. It's a damn good burger. Don't get me wrong. I would eat this burger, but not $80. $80? That's what all the cheap guys from the cheap seats are saying up here. They're going, cute chick, but $5,000 a day? Give me a break.
She was $1,000 an hour, and I believe from as best as I can tell, she was about 3 out of 7 diamonds.
But they must, they have a minimum, right? They're like parking garages.
Right.
They don't go lower than 20 minutes. You can't pull in, park for a second, run to the bank, and just pay them a nickel.
They say she was on the lower end of the diamond scale, leading everyone to wonder, what is a 7-diamond girl like?
I think, well... I think it's a supply and demand issue. She looks like... I dated a girl from New Jersey, and she looks like a lot of girls from that area.
Yeah.
She's very common, attractive, pretty, but nothing special.
You've seen them before, although, as I was going on in great detail about where have all the strippers gone...
Long time passing.
Great Peter, Paul, and Mary song from the 60s. All the... You know the chicks who put the lipstick on and then take the eyeliner pencil and outline their lips, and then they put on a ton of glitter and a ton of perfume and 9-inch Lucite wedgies and become female impersonators.
Every day,
that's right.
Children are killed by gunfire.
Where have all the strippers gone? Point is I don't like to look like I'm dating, or I don't want to feel sexually like I'm with a chick that used to be a dude or is doing her impersonation of a chick. I like women that just sort of naturally look like women. I don't like prostitutes who look like prostitutes, and I don't like strippers who look like strippers. My ideal prostitute, ideal stripper, and ideal porn star is just a chick who looks like a college student who was forced into this. So, to me, she's got a little that girl next door thing, which I personally like.
Well, according to her MySpace page, she left her broken home at 17. She says she's abused drugs and, quote, been broken homeless, but I survived on my own. Mm. In 2004, she moved to Manhattan to make it in the music industry.
Mm.
And, again, her mom, I guess she left her mom when she was a teenager, 46-year-old Carolyn Capalbo, says that Ashley is a bright girl who can handle someone like the governor, but she's also a 22-year-old who got involved in something much larger than herself.
When did she get the nose job? Did they put the date on there, too?
No, it's not on her MySpace page, but it does appear that she's been altered.
When Dr. Drew comes in here, we'll get into it in greater detail, but I suspect broken home is sort of euphemism for molestation or sexual abuse. Dr. Drew says nobody runs away without some abuse, and usually some sexual abuse, and I tend to agree with him.
And then running into the career of call girl would be another tell.
Yeah, look, I don't want to turn my nose job up at it, because there were many times in my life where I was stupid and young and desperate and probably would have done just about anything and did just about anything. Look, I would crawl under your house and dig you a footing with a coffee can for $7 an hour. If you would have offered me $2,000 for a night with the governor, and the governor was a decent-looking chick, I probably would have jumped on it. I know there's a little bit of a double standard, but really, can we judge? You know, I mean, you have some... let's just paint it this way. You have some sort of stepdad that's molesting you or physically abusing you or sexually abusing you in some way, shape, or form. You run away from home. You're 17 years of age. You have no means of supporting yourself. And your choices are $7 an hour and taxes being taken out at a fast food joint, which doesn't get very far in Manhattan, or the governor swings by in a town car twice a week and gives you a nice ringy-dingy, and you take $1,000 cash and go walking with it. When I was 19 or 20, I would have definitely signed up for that over the fast food.
Listen, when I was 27 or 28,
that's
I had
right.
a similar offer, and I had to seriously consider it.
Sure.
But only after I got really broke. All right, so this 22-year-old, as well as having moved out at age 17 and being on her own and having abused alcohol and drugs, according to her MySpace page, she also really wanted to have a music career. That was her big dream. And here is an R&B song she recorded called What We Want.
Tastefully underproduced.
This is... I know I sound like the oldest, whitest guy on the planet, but... If you would have told me this is Britney Spears' latest whatever, I would have went, yep, all right. Sounds the same to me. Just same electronic, overproduced. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I have no appreciation for a lot of new music, because anybody with a Casio and a Mac can just go ahead and do this. This sounds as good, or to put a finer point on it, as bad as any of the pop stuff that gets played. Now, once in a while, you see Alicia Keys sit down at the in front of the Ivories there and start tinkling the 88s, and you go, okay, that person's got the goods. But all then Britney comes in and does some lip syncing to something that sounds very much like this. Who the hell knows the difference? All right.
A lot of production.
Yeah.
Now, also on the Elliot Spitzer tip, who knew he was very good friends with CNBC's Mad Money host Jim Cramer?
Yeah.
Well, Jim Cramer had a very, very tearful interview on the Today Show with Meredith Vieira. Here's some of that.
You know, you've had a couple of rough days on a very personal level. I know that you're good friends with Governor Spitzer and his wife, Silda. You all went to Harvard Law School together. When news of this scandal first broke, what went through your mind?
Well, first, it's not tough for me. I was on air, and I was denying it because it was inconceivable to me. He's a friend of mine, and it's inconceivable. But
really?
It happened.
Politician buying
a
hooker is inconceivable?
You know, I love him.
You're going to take advice from this guy?
It's just very sad. It's just very sad.
Inconceivable! It's inconceivable that a politician has not been with a hooker. Is that what he means?
Inconceivable!
Well, he goes on to talk about how difficult it is to defend his friend in light of the actions. Now, of course, Spitzer has not formally been charged with anything.
Maybe he means the fact that he took money from a 401k or hammered a T-bill and then paid, not using a debit system, for this hooker. And by the way, when you can go to the point and get him for $20 a pop, it's inconceivable that this man who calls himself a fiscally responsible governor paid $1,000 a pop.
What kind of Harvard-educated lawyer doesn't know how to properly launder money to get a hooker?
Maybe that's what he means. This is the inconceivable. Maybe he means, maybe he's crying because he got caught and he paid retail.
Here he is.
It really hit him where it hurts.
Here he is talking about being in the awkward position of having to defend.
I've had great ammo to shut him up. I don't have any ammo. I don't have anything I can say. I've defended him for years because he's my friend for a long time, and he's still always been my friend, and so will Silda. But I didn't have anything to tell him to shut up. They have the edge because Elliot screwed up, and I've always defended him because I think what he was doing was right. But now I just have to listen like everybody else to all the bad things that they say about him, and he is a hated figure. But I don't want to come on and say he's a good man because no one likes him now. But he's done a lot of good things, and it's just a sad thing.
Well, okay, a couple thoughts. First off, if one of my buddies like Jimmy or Dr. Drew got busted for being with a hooker, I would be laughing my ass off. I would never stop laughing.
If Meredith Vieira asked you, did you ever see any signs of this kind of behavior?
You know, you've had a couple of rough days.
Yeah, I had a couple of rough days because I crapped myself three times laughing my ass off hearing about Drew with those hookers.
It must be really painful to see what's going on with Jimmy Kimmel's family for you.
Yeah, it's devastating. I was wondering why I always had to pick up the tab when we went out to lunch.
Don't be a player hater.
There was money for hookers. It's awesome. She's hot, too. Piece of ass. You're damn right. I'm hurt. I'm hurt they didn't let me in on some of that ass.
You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk drunk.
Yeah. From your mouth to God's ears.
Cramer took it very hard. His friend.
Oh, yeah. Well... On a negative front, obviously the bad news is his buddies now had to resign from his office. The good news is phone ringing off the hook because folks want him to be the new movie trailer guy.
Oh, you mean
yeah,
Jim
that,
Cramer?
They love that voice. Sounds awesome.
In a world.
And then he starts crying.
Where people get confused about using offshore accounts.
Could you think of a worse guy than that? All right. What do you got, T-Bone?
She loves... I think she loves Elliot. I know that he always worshipped her, so it's hard. I mean, I don't want to make any excuses for what he did. I can't believe it.
Bruce Willis plays a hard-boiled cop on the edge.
From the people who brought you Die Hard.
And Armageddon. Yeah, Don What's-His-Name's job is very safe.
Yeah, the big VO guy. Mm-hmm. All right, in the world of American Idol, speaking of movies and movie stars, Jim Carrey showed up in his elephant costume to Pimp Horton Here's a Who.
Mm-hmm.
Took an hour to eliminate one person from the top 12.
Uh-huh.
In the end, it was 24-year-old former male stripper David Hernandez who got sent home.
Mm-hmm.
But he had some parting words, something you never hear anyone saying who's leaving a reality show.
Well, you know, honestly, things happen for a reason. I think that, you know, we all have a plan. And on top of that, you know, you'll see me at the top. You know, this isn't it for me.
Mm-hmm. Everything happens for a reason.
And you haven't seen the last of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on the top of the poll.
Yes, he was. There was no poll. Here's the deal. I don't know when people started saying everything happens for a reason. It's what dumb people say when dumb people can't think of something to say. That and at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, everything happens for a reason.
I don't really know what everything happens for a reason means, but it's not a great way to lead your life.
At the end of the day, though, how else are you supposed to get through the hard times?
It's a good point.
Well, the Beatles night was very big, and so American Idol is milking the newly approved Beatles catalog for all it's worth. Contestants will be singing Lennon-McCartney songs again next week.
What happened? Did Yoko just roll over? What happened finally with that?
I have no idea, but the two-hour show attracted 27 million people in the first hour.
Michael Jackson needs dough.
Yeah,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Neverland is...
up for sale.
Yeah.
Is now, does he own the entire catalog, or does he share it with somebody?
He owns Northern Songs Limited. That's McCartney and Lennon's songwriting partnership from the Beatles days.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. What an investment.
27 million people watching the first hour, jumped up to 31 million by the second hour. So it's Beatles again next week.
Mm-hmm.
There was some controversy. One of the guys named David Cook, he's kind of a rocker guy. He did a version of Eleanor Rigby on mm-hmm. Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And some band out of Seattle called Doxology claims he stole the arrangement from them. They're probably not the first band to rearrange Eleanor Rigby.
You mean just that piano?
Let's hear, is this David Cook? Can't even tell the difference.
This is David Cook. This is the Idol version.
This is David Cook, and now let's hear Doxology's version.
Familiar, but it's sort of like when I say somebody come up and say, "Hey, somebody ripped off your joke," and I think,
yeah, there's only so many notes in this song,
right?
By the way, you have the nerve to rip off a song and then accuse somebody of ripping off the song you ripped off from the other band? Like, hey, man, that's our take on the Beatles song that wrote it 25 years before we ripped it off. How dare you? Where's your artistic integrity?
Where's your creativity?
You know, I remember back in the day when my grandfather was remaking other people's work, when he was, you know, putting his own flavor on artistic work that other people had done at a previous time. He never would have dreamt of ripping off the song that he'd ripped off earlier that day.
Why don't you come up with your own ripoff?
How about it, people?
It's not clear where Doxology believes David Cook heard their version of the song. They're a Seattle band. He's from Missouri. But their manager says the song that's the song they're most famous for. They've played it at nearly 200 shows.
It's the song the Beatles are most famous for.
Exactly. It's also for sale on iTunes.
Yeah, and then there's that other part of the argument where you have this band that's not big enough for the other person to have possibly ever heard of you, which is the saddest part about all these stories, because eventually it comes out that the person has never heard of the other person or the band, which now makes it that much more pathetic.
Right.
You know, I took a lot of grief for always enjoying the first rounds of American Idol, especially from you, Adam, who would like to watch the whole thing. So, and it's been years since I actually saw a later round, so I thought to myself, well, I'll actually watch these later rounds so I can actually have an educated, informed opinion.
With an open mind and an open heart.
And actually kind of excited, because I'm like, oh, I love Beatles songs. I love Beatles songs. And now I'm very mad for making me watch these people neuter great songs. It's awful, awful, awful.
Well,
songs.
I would argue with you, but I have decided not to watch a second of American Idol this year. So I have now, not only have I lost interest in the beginning part of American Idol, I've lost interest in the second part, except for when that hot blonde nanny hits the keys, and then I'm all eyes.
Well, I love it as much as ever. Mm. You guys don't understand. And Brian, wait till you're at Dancing with the Stars.
That's very exciting. A
couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
You're going to love that.
Yeah, good times.
All right, this is a story that's almost hard to believe, but it is all true. 2 years ago, a 35-year-old woman went into the bathroom in her boyfriend's home. No names have been released. This was in Ness City, Kansas, about 150 miles southeast of Wichita. For reasons that haven't been fully explained, she went into the bathroom. She did not want to come out. Her 36-year-old boyfriend tried to talk her out, but she sat on the toilet and refused to move. Mm-hmm. So he left her on the toilet overnight. The next day, when he asked her to come out of the bathroom, she said, quote, maybe tomorrow. Mm-hmm. She didn't come out. Mm. So he gave her some food and water and let her be. Mm-hmm. The boyfriend tried over and over to lure her off the toilet. But every day, his girlfriend would say, maybe tomorrow. Then, on February 27th of this year...
What's he feeding her? And what, she's drinking out of the sink and he's sliding matzah underneath the door? I mean, how do you lure someone off the toilet? The door has to open so you can get a ham sandwich in there, and then you wrestle her off the toilet like I do.
He didn't have the kind of relaxed masculinity that you do. Thus, he let her sit there. He tried to lure her off, one would imagine, with words.
And where's he making his business? In the kitchen sink or the decorative popcorn tin like the Ace Man? I mean,
one would hope they had another bathroom.
All right.
On February 27th of this year, 2 years after she first entered the bathroom. 2 years!
Wow.
The boyfriend finally called the police and told them there was something wrong with his girlfriend. When the police showed up, they went into the bathroom, saw the woman sitting on the toilet, asked her to come out. At first, she didn't want to leave, but they finally convinced her. But there was a huge problem.
Oh,
she was stuck to the toilet. The woman hadn't just been in the bathroom. She had been sitting on the toilet, on the pot, for 2 years.
Mm.
She'd sat on the toilet so long that her body fat enveloped and attached to the toilet seat. Paramedics had to pry the seat off the toilet just to get her up. And once they did, she couldn't stand. Why? Because the muscles in her legs had wasted away because she'd been sitting for so long.
Definitely not a Jew.
Hazardous duty pay. Get it? Duty.
She was transported to a hospital in Wichita. When she got there, hospital workers were able to detach the toilet seat from her body. She's now in stable condition. She has not said why she stayed on the toilet for 2 years, and the boyfriend has not explained why he waited 2 years to call the cops.
Well, first off, this chick was no Spitzer hooker. I mean, obviously, obviously a gal with a heavy carriage, because she sat on... first off, probably not a lucrative career, because I'm imagining calling in sick for 2 years eventually are going to get in a little hot water with the boss man. Secondly, I don't think this guy was into this chick, because eventually guy kicks down the door, or better yet, uses something else to take the door down after 2 years. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if her fat is growing around the toilet, that means she's eating. Right?
He's feeding her. He could have just cut her off.
First off, I hope she had some magazines in that bathroom. Because I feel like that People or Us would have gotten old very quickly. Like, she's reading one that says, like, John Kennedy dies in plane crash from, like, 1991 over and over again. She probably memorized the People magazine.
Right, I get it. Gwyneth Paltrow named her daughter Apple.
Right.
Great.
All right. So, 2 years on the pot.
I'm guessing he didn't entertain a lot of house guests.
Then there must have been a lot
Where's
of...
Can I use
your bathroom?
Don't use the one in the hall!
But...
No!
You don't still have...
Use the one... You just use the lawn. Just use the lawn, like everyone else.
Are you still seeing Betty?
Remember 2 years ago when you had that girl that was sitting on your toilet all day?
Also, how about the confused folks at the emergency room? Like, wow, there's a toilet. This woman has enveloped a toilet seat. Would she dropped out of a dirigible onto a toilet? No. This is, she grew around it. Because she must have been dropped from some mammoth height in order. No. Bill, you're going the total wrong direction on this one. She's growing around the toilet. How does one hit a toilet hard enough? No. You know, once in a while, like you have a tree that's lurching to the right, so you tie a rope around it and you put a stake, and a couple years later, the tree grows around the rope. It's like that, except for her ass on a toilet seat. And by the way, what do you think she initially went in there for? I'm going number two. I'm saying number one. I'm saying number two. If you go in for a number one, you don't stay for 2 years.
No, that had to be a number two.
I've seen Kimmel go into the bathroom for two and not come out for 9-10 months, but never 2 years.
That's at the extreme end.
Yeah.
Well, the county is giving the woman a mental evaluation to determine whether or not she really stayed in the bathroom on her own free will and to find out if she has a mental problem. Think she might. Mm. If she is found to have a mental problem, the county may press charges against the boyfriend for mistreating a dependent adult.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good times.
I guess perhaps it was his duty, if you will, to call somebody from the county earlier and find out why she wouldn't get off the toilet.
Toilet.
Yeah. Can you imagine how many times he tossed the old adage, S or get off the pot, while he was standing outside the door?
It's never been, a metaphor has never been more literal.
Yes. 18 months into her planet on the throne, he gives, Elvis spent less time on the toilet. he gives the, and by the way, never a better time to use the backward knuckle knock. Honey? You know that that backward knuckle knock?
Right.
Still in there? Hey, what do you want on your pizza tonight? No can do with the thick crust. There's just not enough room under the door. All righty then. And shall I just spill a Mr. Pibb on there and you soak it up with a hand towel and then wring it into your mouth? Or do you want me to chuck a six-pack in through the window?
That's pretty creative with the soda.
I know, I just came up with
that. I like that.
I'll dump some Sprite. It'll roll onto the tile. You soak it up with one of the towels we got in our wedding, and then you wring it into your mouth.
This is great. If Batman ever locks himself into the bathroom, that is how I'm going to get him his beverages. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news sponsored by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news today. Teresa Strasser.
Well, great news, everybody. The venerable Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
This new show, I can't stop watching.
I have so many questions about what happened with Jessica Sierra and Shifty and Mary Carey and Daniel Baldwin.
I have many questions as well. Dr. Drew in the flesh, in the studio, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know me, I'm all about the European keys. And so is my man, Adam Carolla. And you can catch him right here on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. 97.1 Free HD2. SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show from Celebrity Rehab.
I've been like an animal.
Why?
I've been like an animal.
Why?
I'm a Jew. I'm a animal.
Slow deep breaths. Ready?
Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Doc.
Yes, sir. We got some catching up to do.
Yes, we do. Drew, one of my favorite guys, and I do miss him. One of the things I miss most about doing Loveline is Dr. Drew.
Oh, you're very kind.
Loved our conversations. As I've said many times, we spoke on the air, then we spoke on our bathroom breaks, then we spoke on our cell phones home.
We didn't speak. Let's be fair. I
was going to ask you this, Dr. Drew. Now, if you go to dinner, you two and your wives, how much talking do you get?